The day after Wise resigned, the U of I released hundreds of emails in response to Freedom of Information requests, also known as FOIAs. Many of the emails were sent to and from Wise's personal email accounts. They revealed that she also encouraged others to use their private emails in an effort to skirt FOIA law. The messages paint a picture of some of the external issues Wise referred to in her resignation statement. Let's go back to the spring of 2014.
As a young man, I committed acts of which I stand ashamed. Who better to tell someone how to avoid a destructive path than someone who has walked that path?
That's James Kilgore, addressing the U of I's Board of Trustees in May of last year. At the time, he was asking to be reinstated to his teaching job. Months before the meeting, the Champaign News-Gazette ran a story about Kilgore's past with the Symbionese Liberation Army, a group best known for kidnapping Patty Hearst. The article discussed Kilgore's time in prison for his role in a 1970s bank robbery where a customer was killed. After the story ran, Kilgore's contract with the U of I was not renewed. Despite his plea at the May meeting, the board wouldn't take action on Kilgore until months later. Here's what then-board chair Christopher Kennedy said at the time.
You know, there are about 45,000 people who get a W-2 each year from the University of Illinois. And with that many personnel, there's always going to be personnel issues. And that's part of who we are. There's no way to stop that.
Kennedy's comments contrast with an email he sent to then-university president Robert Easter. In the email, Kennedy says he was blindsided by the issue and that ex-terrorists should not be on public payrolls. After reading that message, Wise wrote to a colleague, "Wow, I hope he has calmed down some." Wise, Kennedy, and other administrators presented a mostly united front in the Kilgore situation, though in the end, the professor did get his job back. The batch of released emails show how Wise approached damage control and responded to pressure from the public, media, and Kennedy. The Kilgore controversy also set the stage for a much bigger employment mess that would play out a few months later. Last summer, tensions between Israel and Palestine erupted into violence.
Israeli tanks and ground troops rolled into the Gaza Strip overnight, targeting Hamas militants.
In the Middle East, the day started with hopes for a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. By the end of the day, rockets were firing again.
Thousands of miles away in Virginia, Professor Stephen Salida and his family were preparing to move to Champaign-Urbana. He's the professor whose job offer was revoked last year after he began tweeting sometimes profane commentary on the conflict between Israel and Hamas, commentary that some considered offensive and anti-Semitic. Salida himself identifies as Palestinian-American. Chancellor Wise sent Salida a letter last August after meeting with trustees, telling him he likely wouldn't get board approval in withdrawing the job offer. Here's how Wise explained her rationale to faculty.
The judgment that I made in writing him was to convey the sentiment of the Board of Trustees. It was not mine, and I did it because I thought I was doing something humane for him.
The news had already begun to circulate globally, sparking online petitions and outrage. Most of it blamed the chancellor for caving to the pressure of donors and violating Salida's right to free speech and academic freedom. Over a dozen academic departments at the school also cast votes of no confidence in Wise. Salida made his first and only public visit to campus last September. The appearance drew a crowd of hundreds of students, staff, and community members. Some activists were even more pointed.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, Chancellor Wise has got to go, hey, hey.
For his part, Salida made it clear that he wouldn't go quietly.
I'm here to reaffirm my commitment to teaching and to a position with the American Indian Studies program at UIUC.
2 days later, the Board of Trustees voted down Salida's appointment. In statements to media, Board Chair Chris Kennedy said it was Wise who had made the decision, and the board was supporting her. The recently released documents, however, tell a different story. Emails show that Wise had only intended to ask Salida's would-be supervisor to give him a talking to, that is, until a meeting with board members in July. After that, Salida's fate was all but sealed. A December email from Wise to the school's provost reveals the chancellor's frustration with the dominant narrative. Quote, "What angers me about this report is that they believe that I made the decision and that the Board of Trustees followed my recommendation. That is just plain not true." Wise also said she didn't think she could carry the water for the administration any longer and indicated her desire to publicly set the record straight. But she never did. Emails show Wise wanted to protect what was to be the crowning achievement of her career at the U of I, opening an engineering-focused medical school on the Urbana campus.
You will be taking a historic vote today.
This is Wise back in March, addressing the Board of Trustees before their vote to approve the College of Medicine.
And I just want to tell you how much we appreciate the opportunity, so thank you very much.
This moment was the culmination of more than a year and a half of work on Wise's part, but one of the key events in that time had nothing to do with Wise.
I am honored, I am humbled to go to work for you and every family in this great state.
Bruce Rauner was elected governor. With the Republican in office, Board Chair Chris Kennedy, a Democrat, was gone. The released emails show that Kennedy was not on board with Wise's plans for a medical school, and the two had struggled back and forth for months. One message shows that Kennedy had emailed then-University President Bob Easter, asking for the Personnel Committee to rein in Chancellor Wise. The documents reveal Wise's motivation for using personal email in all three matters, Kilgore, Salida, and the College of Medicine. They also show the extent to which Wise maneuvered to keep details of the new medical school from being made public before she was ready. In the end, the medical school is going forward. Stephanie Beaver, Senior Vice President for Strategy at Urbana's Carle Hospital, confirmed the project is happening even without Wise.
As you would expect, there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle to put together, so there have been a lot of people at the table going ahead and moving this concept forward.
But the campus continues to face controversy. Student athletes in three sports programs have alleged abuse, racism, or both by their coaches. A major academic organization censured the U of I in response to the Salida case, and his lawsuit is ongoing. The state's continued budget uncertainty has put the university into a financial bind. And when Wise resigned, even that wasn't simple. Here's University President Timothy Colleen speaking to reporters last week.
She indicated her interest or her willingness, desire to resign, citing circumstances including external issues that were making things complicated.
So you did not ask her to resign?
I did not ask her to resign directly.
In a message to the U of I community last week, President Colleen said the school must move forward while learning from lessons of the past. But it's a past that may prove tough to leave behind as the campus starts to search for a permanent replacement for Chancellor Wise, especially with 1,000 documents detailing recent controversies now a part of the public record. That includes the closing phrase of an email Wise wrote to the campus's provost. This place is so messed up. I'm Hannah Meisel, Illinois Public Media.